Ephesians chapter 6. Now, I'm not gonna say for sure, but I'm thinking this may be the last one on this series, unless I feel directed to do sort of a review and do the whole thing, so we just kind of get a recap of the whole series. But we'll see. We'll see here in the next week or two. So, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life and death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared, you're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon." So we've been looking again at all of the different pieces of the armor of God. And you know, I'd like to just keep reminding that, you know, back years ago, people got into this thing where they were dressing up like soldiers and actually wearing armor. And, you know, this is a word picture. That's all it is. It's a word picture. It's imagery to help us understand what these realities, these principles of God are like. And this is how God equips the church to stand against the wiles of the enemy. The enemy is an enemy, and he is going to do whatever he can to steal and to kill and to destroy our lives and to keep us from enjoying the fullness that God has provided for us, the wholeness that he's provided for us. And so how does he do that? Well, he does it by lying. He brings deception. He slanders. He accuses. He tries to tell us we're not what God says we are. He comes along and tells us we can't do any of the things God tells us we should and can do. Tells us we don't have all the things God told us we have, all these wonderful finished realities. And so if we don't know what the word says, then we can't fight back. And of course, the devil's already been defeated, but that doesn't stop him from taking pot shots at us. He's a liar. So he likes to sit in the bushes and kind of, you know, spit peas at us when we walk by. So today we're going to look at the sword of the Spirit, which is the final piece, unless we deal with one more, which would be prayer, but I haven't settled on that yet. The sword of the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, it says, "And take the shield of faith," and then it says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So of all the pieces of armor, this is probably the most aggressive offensive weapon we have. And it's so important. And yet it seems to me the one piece of weaponry that so often people just don't engage. This particular sword that's mentioned here in the original language, there was five swords that the Roman soldiers used. And this is one particular one that the Holy Spirit picked out to use He picked out this particular one to use to paint this picture for us. And it's the word makaira in the Greek. And it wasn't when we think of a sword, a Roman soldier's sword, we usually think of the big broadsword, the gladius, which is the big, huge sword that had, that was a two-handed sword that, you know, that's what you'd think when you see movies like Gladiator. You see these guys with this great big huge sword and they're swinging it. And I think, I don't know how they could do that all day. I would be worn out after two or three swings of a sword that size. But that is what they use. But this is not that kind of sword. This is a makaira. A makaira was a sword that came along later. And it's about a 19-inch long blade, razor sharp on both sides, with its end slightly turned up. And you can imagine what this particular type of little sword, they called it a sword, but what it was capable of doing. It's what they would call a thrust and cut sword. And what a soldier would do, this is really gross. So I'm not intending to be gross, but it proves the point. It helps us understand this illustration better. It was a thrust and cut sword. What they would do is they would thrust it into the gut of their enemy and they would twist it and pull it back out and things would come out with it. Entrails would come out with it. So it would inflict a mortal wound. There's no way anybody survived from this type of, and so you can see why the Holy Spirit would use this type of sword. Because when the sword of the Spirit is being employed by a believer, the enemy doesn't have a chance of surviving when we fight back using the sword of the Spirit. And so it's the sword of the Spirit, though. And that's what's really important for us to understand. It's the sword of the Spirit. So God gave us this wonderful weapon that has the potential to shred the wiles of the enemy. I was even thinking another illustration could be, how many of you have ever seen, you know, we all have seen paper shredders, but now they have paper shredders that do criss-cut cuts. So it shreds it into little teeny pieces. Well, I was thinking that's sort of what this is like too. It just shreds the lies of the enemy, this particular piece of weaponry. And it says that it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is the word rhema, you know, a word all of us are so familiar with. We've heard so much of the word about the word rhema, R-H-E-M-A, over the years. But here's a brief description of the word rhema. This describes something that is spoken clearly in unmistakable terms and language, firm and definite. Thayer says that it's that which has been uttered by the living voice, a thing spoken as contrasted to the written word or logos of the word of God. So this is actually a word that we hear. It's spoken to us. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily, although it's not limited or doesn't exclude the concept of the fact that pastor could be preaching a message this morning and something just yells to us right in the middle of his message. We hear something we haven't heard before. That could be a rhema. But most often, it's something that's delivered to us at a time of need because, again, this is an offensive weapon. And it's the sword of the Spirit because the Spirit of God is the one who gives it to us. He is the one who gives it at a particular specific time of need. He's the one who gives it. He's the one who inspires it. And so it's the word of God. The sword is the word of God. And it's a quickened word. It's something that the Holy Spirit's able to reach down into this reservoir of scripture that we have stored in our hearts and pull it up at a time of need, a particular time of need, and help us use it to fight an attack that the enemy might be bringing. And of course, we know on a daily basis the enemy is bringing attacks. It's not something that should be foreign or unusual to us. You know, sometimes we just think it's us. We just think we're just struggling with a thought or we're struggling with some kind of pattern of thoughts or something like that. Well, that's our enemy. That's how the enemy fights. He brings wiles. He has one road that he travels on to deceive us, to try to tell us that we're not what God says. We can't do what God says. We don't have the things God says belong to us. And so this sword of the Spirit helps us disembowel those lies. That's what this particular type of weapon does, is it disembowels its enemy. Well, that's what this does. When you use this particular weapon, offensive weapon, you're disemboweling those lies. That's a mortal wound. And we'll see, like with Jesus, when Jesus used it, what happened in the wilderness when he used it on the enemy. So it's not that you're going to stop the enemy from ever coming back, but what you're doing is you're taking the life out of the lie. It's the lie that you're robbing of life. It's not the enemy. Of course, you can't kill the devil, but you can kill the lies he brings to you. You thrust and cut with this sword, this Machaira sword, and what you do is you just disempower the lie. You rob it of its life. See, we have to stop saying, yes, devil, oh, that's right, I am such a loser. I'll never make it. We will never have enough money to do that. I'm going to be sick with this because my family had it. I mean, those are the things the enemy tries to bring. You have to be depressed. You have to be sick. You have to be poor. You have to grovel. You'll never be what God says you can be. All of those things are wiles. That's all they are. They come to steal. They come to kill and to destroy. And we have a weapon to fight back with. But you know, the enemy, I shouldn't say the enemy, the Holy Spirit, if there is nothing in the reservoir for him to draw on, then there's nothing to fight back with. We're not talking about scriptures that you might, I think my pastor said once, or I heard brother so-and-so say this on a tape. These have to be in your reservoir for him to be able to draw from. John chapter 14. Verse 26 says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So this is what this is talking about. The Holy Ghost only can work with what we give him to work with. He's not going to bring some obscure thing that you've never fed on, meditated on, studied, spent time looking at. He can only use what you've what you give him to use, which is, what have you stored in your heart? What word have you hidden in your heart? So at a particular time of need, he'll remind us of a scripture, and often it's either a promise or a principle or a precept that he will bring at a very opportune time, a time that we have a need, and he'll flood us with faith when that comes. You know, when you hear a word from God like that, man, you just feel like, I can do this. I can do it. That's a sword of the Spirit, because you know exactly what to do. So it's something that's spoken clearly and unmistakably. It's certain and it's definite, and it's almost always comes at a very specific time for a very specific moment of need for a specific purpose. And again, what is God doing when he does that? He's placing a supernatural sword in our hand. He's putting something in our hand that we can, again, thrust and cut, disembowel that lie so it's fatally, mortally wounded. Now, does that mean the devil won't come back with another one? No, he's going to keep pushing you as often as he can. So we need to have an arsenal to fight back with. And that way we can withstand the mental and emotional and spiritual attacks that the enemy tries to bring against us. So it's really what happens when a sword of the Spirit comes to us, a rhema word comes. It's like a rebuff to the enemy. You know, it's an argument back to the enemy. You know, Doug Jones said years ago, he said, silent Christians will never be healed. If you just never open your mouth and speak what the word of God says to you, you will never experience the blessings of God. And yet Christians just think because they heard something once and they know something that that's enough. No, we have to employ these weapons. This is a sword. That's why Paul's using this imagery for us to see. We have to do something with this stuff. We have to actually do something with it. We have to put it on. And like last week we saw, we have to take it. We have to take the shield of faith. Well, we have to take the sword of the Spirit. That means you have to take it in your hand, which means you can either lay it down or pick it up. So there's times that people are really good with this, and other times we just don't do anything. We just sit and get beat up by the enemy and let him do his thing. And that is not what God wants us to do. He wants us to be in a place where we are able to stand against all the enemy wants to bring against us. So he can reach down. The Holy Spirit reaches down into this reservoir of scriptures that we've stored in our hearts through study, through prayer, through meditation. And then he quickens that at a time of need. So you can see why it's so important for us to spend time in the Word every day. Spending time in the Word, meditating, just thinking on the scriptures, confessing the scripture. That's why that's so important, because that's how we store and hide the word in our heart. That's what gives the Holy Spirit something to work with. So again, he'll bring things to our remembrance that have been spoken to us, things we've heard. And sometimes, you know, those sort of the Spirit rhema words just seem to drop out of nowhere. It's just like, wow, I wasn't even thinking of that. I wasn't even thinking about that. And that shows you how supernatural that is. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what to say at the right time. And what comes with that is strength and comfort and encouragement. It just bolsters us. Sometimes it gets us back on our feet again. It brings hope where we were feeling hopeless. But it's meant to be a lethal blow to the enemy. To the enemy's lies, not the enemy, but the enemy's lies. And you know, you don't have to know the whole Bible to be able to function in this. Who does know the entire Bible? I don't know anybody who knows the entire Bible or has it committed to memory or anything like that. We're not talking about that. So you don't have to have this huge arsenal of scripture for the Lord to be able to pull something, but we should be building our arsenal. We should be developing that reservoir, because we need as much at our disposal as is possible. And memorization's a good thing. I'm not saying it's not something you should do. It's a good thing, but you don't need to know the whole Bible in order for the sword of the Spirit to be at your disposal. So some historical swords that I, as I was studying, that I kind of came up with that changed the course of history. These are things that came at very difficult times in the history of the early patriarchs. One would be Noah. He received a word from God as recorded in Genesis chapter 6. And what did that sword do? Well, it basically ensured the future of humanity. Amen. That was a sword of the Spirit. Abraham received a word from God, a rhema from God, as recorded in Genesis chapter 12, that led to the establishment of the Jewish nation. And of course, the walk of faith that we all understand. Joseph received a word from God about his personal life through two dreams. And that put him in a position to be able to take care of his family and the nation. Again, the nation of Israel, they were rescued from famine. Mary, the mother of Jesus, received a word, a rhema word, or sword of the Spirit, you could say, revealing that she was chosen to give birth to the Lord. That's Luke chapter 2. And then in the ministry of Paul, we see it over and over again. Paul's talking all the time about things that the Lord spoke to him, said to him. In Acts chapter 9, at his conversion, we know there were some very profound things that were spoken to him. In Acts chapter 21, some things were spoken to him to prepare him for a period of persecution. And then, you know, sometimes you would think, well, God, wouldn't God just deliver him from persecution? No, God told him what things he must suffer for his name's sake. Isn't that true? He said, these are things you're going to have to suffer for me. He didn't say, this is how you're going to get out of it. No, he said, this is what you're going to have to suffer. And then Acts chapter 23, he spoke some very specific things to him concerning his ministry while he was in Rome. So again, even today we see this happening. We hear people like, you know, Brother Hagin had very specific things that were spoken to him that were the foundation for his ministry. And men and women today are hearing things like that, that are very specific and that are changing the course of history. Even today, they're changing the course of history. So, and they're simple things. They're not always deep, profound things. Oftentimes, they're just very simple things. But when we hear them and obey them, it's like that thrust and cut. And it stops the enemy. Because, you know, the enemy doesn't want anybody fulfilling what God tells them to do. He doesn't want anybody fulfilling the callings of God on their life. He doesn't want us walking in the promises of God. He doesn't want us living our lives by the precepts of God. And so he will lie. He will lie to us. He'll tell us it doesn't work. That's not what that means. You don't have to do that. Oh, God loves you. He'll understand. All that kind of stuff. Well, all of those, you know, some of those things are true. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't do what God tells us to do. Amen? Because we still have this life here that affects other people. So these words, the words that he'll bring to us are always simple to understand. They're direct and they're undeniable. You know, Pastor Duane has shared so many times with us over the years about what he saw and what he heard that enabled him to launch this church, to launch this ministry. And that those words have enabled him to stand through a long time, many, many years of difficulty even in ministry. Throughout the course of this church's history, it's, you know, he oftentimes will just say, man, if I hadn't heard what I heard, but I did hear what I heard. I heard what I heard. And so those things will keep us during difficult times. Oftentimes what will happen is you'll be just reading in your Bible and something will just kind of leap off the page. And just, we'd say, it just came alive to me. That's a sword of the Spirit. That's a rhema word of God. It explodes. It just explodes in our heart. But what it's used for is just to fight back. It just comes at a time when we need something to fight back with. And it's a two-edged sword. Now, I love this aspect about this. Again, we talked about the fact that this is not a big broad sword, the gladius, that a two-handed sword that took everything a soldier had to be able to swing it. And the gladius was only sharp on one side. It was dull on the other side. But the Machaira, this sword of the Spirit, was razor sharp on both sides. Razor sharp. And so it didn't leave any survivors. I mean, nobody survived this wound, a wound that was, when you were wounded by a Machaira, you didn't survive it. And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, John talks about this sword, this double-edged sword, this two-edged sword coming out of the mouth of Jesus. It says, when John saw him, he said, a sharp two-edged sword was coming out of his mouth, Jesus' mouth. A sharp two-edged sword that's coming out of his mouth. So that gives us an idea how this sword has to be employed. The word two-edged means, it actually means two mouths. Sometimes it was used of rivers or a road that branched off, but it's talking about two mouths. So you can see that two mouths are necessary for this sword to be used properly. And we'll see what that means here as we proceed. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So here it's telling us that, again, comparing God's word, it's alive, it's powerful, and it's as sharper than the most two-edged sword, the sharpest two-edged swords you can imagine. Again, the word Machaira. One edge of this two-edged sword, or this two-mouthed sword, came when it was first preached by God. or inspired by God and preached through the mouth of those who wrote it, as it was recorded by inspired biblical writers. So that was still only one mouth. When you read the word of God, the Logos of God, that's one side of the sword. That's just one side of the sword. It's still only one mouth. We have to add our mouth to it for it to do anything. One side of the sword's enough. We need, now you can, there can be some transformation that takes place, some mind renewal through the Logos of God's word. But when the word comes out of your mouth, that's when it's deadly. That's when it inflicts a deadly blow to the enemy. So it has to come out of our mouths as well. It has to come out of our mouths. We can't just sit and think about God's word and think about how lovely it is and how wonderful it is and expect to win battles. We have to get that word coming out of our mouth, just like Jesus had that double-edged sword coming out of his mouth. We won't win battles by just thinking about the Logos of God. We have to get that two-edged sword working. One side was when God inspired it and wrote it. The other is when we speak faith-filled words. That's when it becomes that thrust and cut sword that's able to disembowel the lies the enemy brings to us. So, not that the Logos isn't a good thing. It's a good thing. We can get our minds renewed with that. Amen. But boy, to fight back, to use it as a weapon, we have to have it coming out of our mouth. So when it proceeds out of our mouth, we add that second edge to it and it becomes a two-edged sword. but again, the Holy Spirit has to have something to reach down. He has to have something to reach into and to pull out. He has to have that. He knows what we've put in. He knows what he can minister to us, what he can say to us, what we have stored in our hearts. He knows that. And so that's the thing we have to understand, is this is our responsibility. This is our part. If we're going to be victorious Christians, if we're going to be able to adequately fight back against the wiles of the enemy and hold our ground and stand when attacks come, then we're going to have to do our part, which is to feed on God's word on a daily basis. You know, I hear people so often say, well, I just don't have time for that. You do have time for it. You have time to answer the bill collectors. You have time, you know, to deal with all the other, to go to the doctor, right? We have time to deal with that stuff. Let's just cut that stuff off. Let's cut it off at the pass, head it off at the pass, and spend time storing God's word in our hearts so that when these attacks come, we have something to fight back with. So Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, again, it says, it's quick, the word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the word, not only can it be used on the enemy, but it can go cut right down into the very midst of our being and expose things in us that might not be right, things that might be off base or wrong, things that we might be believing that aren't right. Do you know we don't always believe everything that's right and that has to be changed? Well, the Holy Ghost can draw out of that arsenal, that reservoir, and show us those things even in our own lives that are not quite right. Verse 13 goes on to say of Hebrews chapter 4, it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So, you know, when we are ignorant of God's word and when we haven't spent time in God's word, that makes us vulnerable. It makes us vulnerable because we have wrong thinking and wrong believing sometimes, and the enemy will capitalize on that. He'll keep us bound in a place, in an area, because we're not allowing God's word to do the job on the inside of us that needs to be done as well. And so if the word's able to penetrate, it'll get right to the quick of a matter, to the heart of a matter, and it can start bringing forth transformation in our lives. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, very familiar passage, says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's when that word becomes deeply, deeply rooted inside of us, and we begin to employ it by speaking out of our mouths what we have stored in our hearts. That's when we start seeing things change when we speak. So often Christians just kind of flippantly confess some word, and they're disappointed because nothing's happening when they do that. You know, there has to be faith behind those words. It's not just enough to speak the word. There has to be faith behind those words. There has to be something rooting that word in our lives in a place of faith. You know, it's very easy just to mimic what somebody else says. very easy just to say, well, you know, I know there's a scripture that deals with this, and I know I heard somebody say this, and see, it's not real to us. We haven't taken any kind of personal ownership. It's not personal yet. But when we spend time meditating in the Word, studying God's Word, spend time just thinking through God's Word, that's what gives the Word an opportunity to become rooted in us, so the Holy Spirit has something alive to work with. Mark chapter 4, verse 24, again, familiar passage of Scripture. In the Amplified, it says, Jesus said, the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. So we have to do something with the Word of God. We have to give some thought and some study to it. And he says that the measure of thought and study we give to it will determine what degree of strength and power we get back out of it. So it's up to us. How much do we want to get back from the Word? How much do we want the Holy Spirit to be able to use the Word to help us during these battles of everyday life? Well, then we need to put some thought and study into it. Again, a little tidbit in the morning, you know, thank God for these wonderful Bible programs that we can listen to the Word. That's not enough. That's not enough. That's just a little hearing. We need to apply ourselves. We need to study. We need to, doesn't it say in both Joshua 1 and Psalms 1, day and night? Boy, day and night, that's not just a little few minutes in the morning. Give God a little shot in the morning. God, you know, I'm going to give you 15 minutes here. Now you better speak to me quick. You know, and then I expect miracles in my life. That is not how it's going to work. Amen? And yet, you know, then we're disappointed. Well, I tried that. I tried this confession stuff, and I spoke the Word. Well, we get out of it what we put back into it. Amen? So, but it's got to be in us. It's got to be rooted in us. For it to become deadly, there has to be faith in there. There has to be some faith in that scripture. It has to be personal to us. We have to own it. There has to be some ownership. So God uses words. He speaks through words. If you're not speaking the Word, if you're not feeding on the Word, you're not going to have a sword. You're going to be, again, out in the middle of this battlefield with no weapon. You might have some defensive weaponry, but if you can't fight back, your enemy is going to keep hacking away at you. He's just going to keep hacking away with the same old lies and deception and accusations and slander. And we got to fight back, and we have to disembowel those lies. Amen. So we have to write them on our heart for them to be at his disposal. Without that, there is no sword of the Spirit. So we need to, you know, this is something we need to take seriously, how important it is to feed on the Word of God on a regular basis. Now, Jesus, we know from the account in Matthew chapter 4 that Jesus, when he was tempted by the enemy in the wilderness, that we know what happened. The enemy brought one lie after another. There were three specific things that he came to the enemy with, or to Jesus with. And Jesus' response was a sword of the Spirit. It is written. It is written. It is written. It came out of him. How did that come to Jesus? Well, he was Jesus. He just knew all this stuff. No, he from a child, he was raised up in the scriptures. He spent time in the synagogue. He studied the Word of God. He'd stored that in his heart. So when the enemy came, he had that very specific sword of the Spirit to use on the enemy. But what's so interesting is that even after answering one or two of them, the devil came back and said, well, it is written, and tried to convince him of his interpretation of what the scriptures had to say. So it isn't enough just, again, to know what the pastor said, or to know what I heard on a tape once, or heard brother so-and-so say this on the radio. These things have to stop being somebody else's, and they have to become ours. They have to be ours. They have to belong to us. It's my sword. It's mine. And without that, we're not gonna prosper. We're not gonna profit against these battles. You know, Jesus had this incredible reservoir of things stored in his heart that he was able to fight back, and the devil kept fighting back with him. You know, after a while, Jesus just finally had enough to say to silence him. It's interesting, though, is, you know, the devil wants you to believe things a certain way, and so he'll twist the Word. He wants you to believe certain things aren't for today, certain things don't matter. You know, he's going to try to teach us. He'll speak it sometimes even through the mouth of people, you know. We'll hear it on the radio. Somebody, oh, you know, healing isn't for today. The devil wants us to believe things the way he believes them, the way he wants us to believe them. And we have to have whatever is necessary stored in our heart in that reservoir for the Holy Spirit to be able to draw from and put in our hand. Then it becomes a supernatural weapon. If we've stored it, if it's real to us, it's a supernatural weapon, and it could be used with deadly consequences. Again, you're disemboweling the lie. That's what this sword will do. It disembowels that lie. It just pulls the bowel right out of it. No more life. It inflicts a mortal wound to it. And so, again, you know, we have to see how important this is. These aren't just nice little religious practices. These are life and death issues. These are fulfilling ministry call issues. These are financial success issues. These are life and death health-wise issues. These are mental wellness issues. These are, I mean, I could go on and on and on about the things that the Word of God pertains to here. And that when the enemy brings these attacks, if we have not spent time in God's Word, there's nothing for us to fight back with. No word, no sword. I mean, it's that plain. And this is the most powerful offensive weapon we've got. You know, again, we could be standing out in the middle of the field, completely dressed, have on the helmet, have the shield, all those things. But if we don't fight back, the devil's just going to keep hacking away at us. And sooner or later, most people will just cave. They'll just give in. They'll just break down under that kind of attack. And so, you know, we have to determine once and for all, God's word is going to be final authority for every area of our lives, no matter what part of my life I'm looking at right now or considering, things I might be dealing with, having difficulty in. If God's word doesn't have final authority there, the Holy Spirit isn't going to be able to use that either. He's not going to be able to use the scripture in that area until it becomes final authority. This is the way God said it. This is what I'm going to align my life by. I'm going to stop making excuses. I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to believe the way he says to believe it. And then when the Holy Spirit comes and quickens that to us, we have something. We have a weapon we've tried and tested and that we believe in. Amen. It's not just something again that let's see now. I think I remember sort of, you know, and so many Christians are living their lives that way. They're living their lives by somebody else's revelations. Let it become your sword of the Spirit. It has to be real to you so that you know when you trust and cut with that thing, you know it's going to do exactly what it's meant to do. So I think we'll cut it off there. We need to spend some time at prayer here this morning, but again, you can see the importance of why we need to spend time in the Word every day. And, you know, you don't need to waste your time spending amounts of time on obscure topics. Find what's your battleground right now? Is it a financial battleground? Then get into the Word and find out what the Word has to say. Is it a physical battleground? Get into the Word. Find out what the Word has to say. Start storing the Word in your heart. If it's an emotional thing, if you're constantly dealing with emotional agitations or you're in fear, get into the Word. Spend time there. Find out what God's Word has to say. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit has nothing to put in your hand. Amen?